Is this a happy church? Okay, so just wanted to say hello. And also, I'm going to kick this off by first, I'd like to pray for Gigi has a spiritual mom who is in the later stage of dementia, and her family just really needs some peace right now. So if you guys can just extend your hands towards Gigi, she'll be the stand-in. And we're just going to say, Father, I just pray, Lord, that you would do what you do best, God. And that's be there with Gene and their family, Father, that you would give them the grace, Father, to know what to do and to be able to do it when it's necessary, Father, and that you would just give that family peace in this situation. Father, they would feel you in a tangible way in Jesus' name. All right. And also, I wanted to do something with you guys today. It's more of an interactive thing. So as we're letting the worship team get ready to come up, will you guys just stand with me? And what I want to do is I want to do some declarations. And declarations are things that we're going to speak out with excitement, believing that God can do these things, okay? And right here, it's on the prompter for you. So we're going to go through this together. And I'm going to say, as we'll be opening the service, and as we open service, we are believing you for, and we're all going to read it together. Heaven opened, earth invaded, storehouses unlocked, and miracles created. Dreams and visions, angelic visitations, declarations, impartations, and divine manifestations. Again, then there's anointings, giftings, and calls, positions and promotions, provisions and resources to go to the nations, souls and more souls from every generation, saved and set free, carrying kingdom revelation. Yes, thank you, Father. As I join my value system to yours, you will shower favor, blessings, and increase upon me. So I have more than enough to co-labor with heaven and see Jesus get his full reward. Hallelujah.
Amen. She doesn't need her phone. Thank you. Go sit down.
To nothing. All right. So this song says, all I have, all I own, all I love, all my love. But there's something else that Christ wants from us to lay at his feet. All my shame, all my fear, every tear, everything that we think defines us in the negative, Christ wants us to lay it at the cross where he died for us and let his blood pour over it. And let his glory come out of it.
All of a sudden, I am unaware of these afflictions.
glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And
I'm
gonna pray for our government and our city. Lord, I just lift our government up to you, Lord. I pray that you create in them a clean heart, Lord. I pray that you would convict them of the wrong and praise them for the right choices, Lord. Father God, let their mind think like yours, Lord. And Father, I just pray for our city, Lord. I pray that your grace be upon them, Lord. Father, I pray that you would just, oh God. I just pray that you would allow their hearts to be on fire for you, that you would spread through this valley just as that pandemic spread, Lord. I pray that you just spread farther, Lord, and more abundantly, Father God, and deeply, Lord. Allow yourself be that new pandemic, Lord. Bring every heart in this city to you, Lord. We just need our city to feel you, Lord. To feel your presence, Father God. To feel you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So what I want to tell you, what you may not know, is that there was a little battle going on over here. Pastor called Tara earlier this week and asked her if she would pray. And she's like, oh, that's stepping out of my comfort zone. And since then, she has just been in a battle. She says the enemy has just fought her, and her heart, she felt, was turning, and she just was not liking the terror that she was feeling inside. And I said, step on the devil's head. Pray anyway. Don't let him steal your voice. That was a powerful prayer. It's like spread like the pandemic, but even more. I mean, how powerful is that? Like, that's totally Jesus. And I just have to say that Jesus does have a heart for our city. He has a heart for this nation, or we would all be toast already, you know? I mean, just think about that. We would all be just toast. So I'm just thankful for the, this is a victory. Amen. I just praise the Lord for that. Thank you, Tara, for being brave. So, we are going to, put up a slide, I think, about giving offering. And I just want to share a little bit about that because, we've never been a church to ever ask for anything, for money or anything. We used to take an offering. We used to have ushers. We even used to have a little sermonette about offering every single Sunday. And then as my husband and I became senior pastors and we started praying, it's like God told us, stop counting. Stop counting people. Stop counting money. Stop. Just let me bless you. Just let me do it. And so our really good friend, Mike, made this beautiful treasure box. He donated it to the church, and it has got a slot in the top. And so during worship, we've always said, just as a part of your offering and worship to the Lord, let your tithe be given. We're not going to take it, because it's not for us, it's for Jesus. So we let you have a heart of giving in everything. Give your worship, give your tithe, give whatever. So if you want to come up during worship time or even afterwards and just slide it in, you may. But if you don't, there is a box on the back wall out in the foyer. And you can just slip it in there if you want to. Or you can go to onelifefamilyworship.com or olfw.net and give there through the PayPal system. And next slide is going to be about our worship during the summertime. I'm a worshiper. I love Jesus so much. I love singing. I love all that stuff, you know.
So we're going to be doing it. We're going to be doing it outside in people's backyards or side yards or front yards, whatever you want to do. And so the first one's going to be at Pastor Eric and Nancy's house. And they live up on Appleview, 6404 Appleview. So get your little picture cameras out with your phone and take a picture so you can get the address. And then on June 12th, which is this next Saturday, right? Oh, it's this next Saturday. That's so exciting. Woo, it's finally coming up. We're going to be there for a couple hours, and we're just going to worship together, and we're going to pray together, and we're just going to see what Jesus wants to do for us outside these walls, just in the green grass with kids running around being crazy, all that stuff. And then the next month, it's the second Saturday, the next Saturday in July that we're going to have it. We're going to have it at Tara and Zeke's house in their backyard. And they at both these couples have a fire pit. Not that that's a necessity, but if you got a fire pit and you want to use it, okay. But anyway, so August is open, isn't it? Still open? August is still open. So anybody that wants to have worship at their home, let me just tell you guys. It is so exciting. It really is. We're not going to come and look at your housekeeping. We're going to be outside in your yard. So don't think you have to clean your house or anything like that unless you want to clean your bathroom in case somebody needs to have a little break. But other than that, we're just going to love on Jesus and one another. So August is open if anybody wants to take that Sunday. And I believe that's it, right? Is that all? Oh, Nancy has something to say.
Hey guys, I just wanted to speak into the children's real fast because we do have children's, but just for the next couple of weeks, we're kind of taking a pause. And that pause is because I, as a mom, have become just slightly overwhelmed just with my new baby and trying to find rhythm. And I just felt the Lord say that He needed me to trust in Him and just to find out what is it that He's doing and not what I'm doing and leaning in my own strength as a mom or as a person who's been working with children for years. And so I'm trusting Him right now. And I know it's kind of weird because we have some new people coming with children. So I just want you guys to know your children are so welcome in this service. And if they need to be a little bit loud, that's okay. You know, in Bible days, Jesus had them there. And when the adults tried to send them away, He said, no, you let them come. Be like them. Okay. So they get excited. We should be excited because they're being stirred in the things of the Spirit. So just take note. Okay. And you know, if that's hard for you, I'm sorry. You know, take it with Jesus and He will bless you. But I just want you guys to know, so children's isn't off the table. It's just on pause for a moment because we're just really wanting to get forehead to forehead with Him and find His strategy and be able to bless these children's socks off when we reopen it. I want them to have a place that feels so good and that has a team of people that feel really good and want to bless and pour into those children. So, but in the meantime, and during this service, you know what, if they get a little bit loud, it's okay. Don't be upset. You know, and there is a room to the side in this hallway right here. There's a room that has toys. So if they need a little break or want to go play, moms, dads, you guys are more than welcome to take them in there and give them a break for a little bit too, if that's what's needed. And don't worry if it gets loud, it's okay. That's their place to be. Children. And in here is a place for them to be children. And what I'll be doing is I'll be bringing coloring books and things to set on the side right here. So if they want to color and do things during service, they can do that. But just, it's okay. Okay. So just parents' hearts, because I know mine, my own, I have a 4-year-old little pistol. And sometimes I'm like, what are you doing? Stop. But I have to just remember, no, Jesus loved the children. He actually called us adults to be more like them. And so let's just be okay. All right? Sound good? All right. Thank you, church. Let's give a praise and our thanks to the worship team. Yeah, without further ado, we have Pastor Mike.
Praise the Lord. Good morning. Awesome worship. That I love you, Lord. That's really that's what they call dusting off the old books right there. We used to sing that, and at the end of almost every time we would gather, when we were part of Tom Baker's Foursquare, he would sing that song, and it's like brings back memories. Did anybody used to sing that, a worship song, you know, when you would do choruses and stuff? Yeah, it's a great song. And it is one of those timeless ones. It's not something that you have to say, well, it's the old music. And I think absolutely. I think sometimes we like to stay modern, you know, with our worship, with our, you know, with our way that we're learning things and everything in the Word and hear new teachings and stuff. But, you know, going back to the basics, right? Going back to the basics and just some of the, even old hymnals, just like, sorry, I didn't have all the words for now I forgot the song that we were singing. What?
What a friend.
What a friend we have in Jesus, yeah. But we'll do that another time, and we'll make sure we have all the words. So on Friday, our team met, which is Eric and Nancy Gay and myself, and we were just kind of communicating about what we really felt like the Lord was doing and wanted to do, and wanted how He wanted us as a body to reach Yakima. We've been praying for Yakima every Sunday for a few months now, and how many know that when you pray for something and someone, that the Lord continues to develop in you a heart of love for that? And you guys don't hear it very much, and we're going to try to make sure that it's something that we can communicate more and more all the time. But I'll just throw up the slide so you can see it. So there we go. When we were installed as pastors back in 2010, February 25th is Tim's birthday. Just before Tim's birthday, our son, I was really inspired in my heart to preach a sermon. And the sermon was called One Life. And it was about reaching and how God uses people and use Paul and use Jesus to reach one life. And so when we changed our name to One Life Family Worship, and that was like 2014 or something, wasn't it? Yeah. It was like developed over probably 3 or 4 days, and different people inputted who were part of leadership at that time. And because I just really had like one life on my heart, but I felt like there was still something more. So when I preach that sermon, it's like, you know, I preach it, and it was in my old mindset. Because how many know that we change and we transform in our ways of thinking over the years? I mean, have you, Eric? Do you still think the same way when you first got saved?
I've always thought perfect, and so I haven't had to change much. So
okay, so you're
I should be teaching, and you should give me the iPad.
Okay,
no,
okay,
for sure. Yeah, this is the church I was saved in, and so at that time, the mindset you're talking about is what I was indoctrinated in, and that was, and not that it was bad. It just was, you know, limiting
right.
in my approach to Jesus. So absolutely,
right.
Yeah.
So when I preached that message, it was exciting, and, you know, it was kind of a rah-rah because, I mean, it was our first sermon as senior pastor and pastors, and it was, you know, me preaching, which is even different because now I like having Gay on my side because it's like, and I know you're not Gay, but it's like you're not my wife, but, you know, it's still having you here today. What? Security blanket, yeah. No, not a security blanket. A better half, I would say, because she always has, you know, something that I don't have in my heart to share that day. And as I believe you will today as well. But when I shared it, it was like, you know, it was a sermon. But I realized that God was starting from the very first day something in us that I didn't really grasp at the time. I didn't see it until years later. And so I then came up kind of when someone said, so like, what is the vision? This was years ago. What's the vision for the church? I said, well, reaching Yakima one life at a time. Because to me, that's what we've done. That's how we have become who we've become. And, you know, we haven't had huge, you know, coliseums full. It's like we take opportunities when we have them, and we pour into people. We love people. We share, you know, our lives with them. And if they want to know about Jesus, then we start sharing about Jesus. And that, I mean, that's who we are. And so what we want to do today is communicate what that means for all of us as a family of believers. How do we reach Yakima one life at a time? And what does it mean? And why do we want to reach Yakima one life at a time? Why don't we want to just, you know, get on the TV and start just broadcasting, you know, a message and have people, you know, phone in and say they receive Jesus or whatever. I mean, that's, some people use that mode of operandi, but you know, we're who we are. We're who God made us, and we have to be who we are in our identity. We can't be somebody else. You have anything to?
Amen. I think too, just thinking about like if each and every one of us can think about our story with Jesus, think about how all of us were one life at one time. Right? Like we were, like my personal story is I was just a young man who, you know, fell in love with a girl who her family happened to go to this church. And I came in and I was just one life that Jesus was like, I want him. And so, and each of us have our own story and our own journey of how that happened for us. And it, you know, that is the MO of Jesus though. He is there for the one. Does he love the multitudes? Absolutely. But I think that revival isn't limited to a room full of people. I think revival looks like when we get out of our out of the way, out of his way, and we go after the one. Each and every one of us. Can you imagine what would happen if every single person in this room, young and old, okay, even the little ones, started to go after the one? Not just to get them into church, that's a great goal, but to get them into relationship with Jesus, to get them into see who their identity is in Christ. So
that's so good. Yeah. That's really good. Yeah. Speaking of that, this is our first real communication we want to give to you. God's heart is that not even the one life, will be lost. In other words, his desire is that every single individual will be able to receive him. That is his desire. Matter of fact, if we go to a scripture here, 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not being slow in doing what he promised, the way some people understand slowness. Now, what Peter was responding to is that people in their day were saying, where's the promise of God's returning? We've heard that he's going to return. You ever heard that, you know, Jesus is coming back soon? You know, I've been saved a lot of years. I've heard many different times. Yeah, Jesus is coming back, you know, that, you know, 40 years from the time that, you know, Israel became a nation. No, now it's 50. No, we're going to make it 70. And so, you know, all of the different, you know, timelines that they think it was going to happen in. But this is the reason why he hasn't come back, is because God is being patient with you, with everyone. He doesn't want anyone to be lost. He wants everyone to change their ways and stop sinning. He wants everyone to change their hearts and their minds. That's his desire. Now, is God omnipotent and all-knowing and he knows the beginning from the end? That's true. But at this very point in time, right now, he wants everyone to be saved. And when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he desired all of humanity to be able to receive the work of the cross. He didn't want to reject one. And that's hard for us to understand because there's so many people rejecting him right now, giving him the finger, cussing him out, you know, doing everything that's anti-God. And yet he even wants that one. He wants the worst one to realize how much they're loved.
Yeah, amen. I think too, you think about, you know, the most quoted verse in the Bible, John 3:16, right? And I was thinking about this today, or this week rather, about just how it even starts. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. That alone, that however many words that is so chock full of power because of the world. That means me. That means you. That means your family members. That means the dude on the corner. That means the guy giving God the finger. I mean, like, the world, not the church, not the pretty people, not the ones that have it all together, but the world. And so it really is like when we think about brass tacks, the basics, like what is my role? What do I do in the church? You know, like what is my role like as a believer in Jesus? Like, well, your role is to go love the world. Who? The world. Oh, the ones that make me feel good every time I'm around them? No, the world. Oh, the ones that, you know, puff me up and tell me how amazing I am? No, the ones who tell you the opposite. Those people too. Right? Like, it's a mind shift, getting our heart and our heart postured to that place of like, oh, I'm actually called to love everybody, even the ones who don't make me so happy.
Exactly. I don't have the scripture here, but there's the scripture that Jesus crickets. There's the scripture that is so evident of that communication when Jesus was giving a story, a parable, about the man who had 100 sheep. And he lost one of them, just one of the sheep. And he went and he searched diligently for that one. He left the 99. I don't know who he left him with, but it says that he left the 99 and he went and looked for that one. And when he found that one, he grabbed the one, put it over his shoulders, carried. In other words, he carried the sheep in its lost state back to the fold. And he rejoiced and he was so happy. He called all his friends. Guess what? I found the one lost sheep. And the Bible says, you know, that there is more rejoicing in heaven over one lost sinner than all the ones sitting in church here today. Not that he doesn't love us, but there's great rejoicing in heaven when someone comes to the truth and the revelation that God loves them and that he redeemed them. That he bought them back from all of their bad behavior. All their naughty deeds, as we like to say.
The solution to you, the ones you love, the solution to our city, the solution to anybody we're trying to reach is not, let's get them to One Life Family Worship. That's actually not the solution. There are plenty of people in church right now, Sunday morning, all across our city, all across our nation, who have their butts in seats right now, and their life is a mess, and they're the furthest away from God.
Come on.
There are so many people. So the solution isn't the church building. Now, I love Sunday. I want to be here with you guys every Sunday. I'm excited. I love what we get to do. But we have to get out of the mindset of, oh, if I could just get them to church and instead shift it to, if I can just be the church. If I can just be the church, even if they never walk in the building, if they never walk in these front doors, great. But were you the church to them? Because I think Jesus is going to ask us more about that, more about, less about how many people did you invite to church and more about how many people were you the church to? That coworker, you know, that family member, that stranger you met, how many people were you the church to? Because that's actually what I called you to do. I actually wasn't talking about a building when I said the church, because I'm not really concerned about the building. Tomorrow, you know, the bank can come here and say, this is, you guys no longer can meet. Then what? You know, we have to figure that out. Like, and I think the pandemic showed us all like what the church really is made of, because it's not a building. It's all about heart. It's all about us, the church.
So good. Amen. Yeah, it's about us being Jesus to those ones. You know, we're now standing in the stead of that good shepherd. And are we going to have enough compassion for those, our neighbor or our coworkers or our brothers and sisters or mom and dad or aunts and uncles or you name it, you know, co-players on a softball team, that we care enough about them, that we'll spend time with them and pour our life into them. And maybe we don't see any results, but are the results up to us? They're not. They're up to God. So here's another verse. This is, I want to go ahead and put up the little title for it. Jesus was always looking for the one life to reach. He was always looking. I mean, he was on the hunt all the time. He was not passively sitting by and saying, I wonder if God the Father is going to send me someone today. He was searching and seeking and looking for those opportunities that were laid out to him. And prepared, he was prepared for those moments. So Luke 19, 1 through 6. This is Jesus, and it says that he entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. I guess he was very short, some people say. So he ran on ahead and climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. Do you see what Jesus is saying? "Zacchaeus, I must stay at your house today." In other words, I must spend time with you. That's what he's saying. "Zacchaeus, I must be in your presence intimately, not just looking at you in a tree, not just passing you in the hallway at work, not just shaking your hand on a Sunday morning when you visit. No, I must spend time with you because you need to hear my heart. You need to see what drives me. You need to hear how you could really live if you wanted to, Zacchaeus. You don't have to steal from people. You don't have to cheat people. You can be a son of God, a child of God, Zacchaeus. Why don't you come and let's go to your house and let's have that exchange and watch the transformation take place."
So good. I think, too, like you think, well, I love what Pastor Mike said before he read that, is that Jesus was not only searching, but he was prepared. He was prepared. There's something significant. Like, none of us would ever, I hope, would never walk into, you know, our workplaces knowing we have a job ahead of us, right? Knowing, like, I'm not prepared. Like, that would make for a really bad day. You know, if I drive FedEx trucks, so I wouldn't walk in, you know, no uniform, you know, not wearing the right shoes, you know, don't have lunch for the day. Like, that would make for a really bad day. So even though I don't know what the day is going to bring me, I think, you know, I'm going to be prepared. I'm going to make sure I'm dressed for the weather, make sure I'm wearing the right shoes, make sure I have food with me, I have plenty of water with me, because as the day comes, I want to make sure I'm prepared. And if we as believers can make sure that we're equipped and prepared, make sure that we are in our word, in prayer, make sure that we have something to give when those moments arise, right? When we're sitting across the table from somebody like, oh my God, you guys ever have those just like, those moments where somebody just starts just delving into their lives, right? And you didn't ask them, and they just start saying, "Oh, I'm having, you know, marriage problems," or like, "My kid, I don't know how to do this," or, you know, like, whatever, they're going through something, or "I'm having financial problems." If we're equipped, then we can give them something of sustenance from the Spirit of God and say, "Hey, let me just give you a little nugget of truth. Let me give you something that is going to be opposite of what you're going through, going to be counter to what you're going through, because I'm prepared. Because I've been, you know, I've been with the Lord, and he's given me something now to give to you." So in this story, we see Jesus as being not only like seeking it out, but also like, oh, there he is, the short dude in the tree. I'm prepared to hang out with this sinner, this guy who's not popular in this community, this guy who's a thief. Everybody knows who he is and what he does, but I'm prepared to receive him.
Amen. That's good. Yeah, there is a dynamic that as Christians that we can get into, and where we're basically showing that why we want to be with somebody is because we want to get them saved. And do you know they can feel that? They can feel the tension of how we keep trying to, you know, well, let's just turn this conversation. Do you know the Lord or whatever? We have to be able to have the mind of Christ and be able to spend time with somebody multiple times, maybe our whole life. And they don't come to a place where they receive Jesus in our place. But we continue to know that loving them is what God would do. He would continue to communicate, and he does. God is always working to draw somebody. I mean, he did it my whole life. Until the scales that covered my eyes, he was always trying to draw me. And there was a timing in Christ, but I mean, he made sure that I heard the message, and I believe that he tries to do that for everyone. I don't think according to that scripture, he doesn't write off anyone. He would have it that none would perish. That is his desire. So let's look at this, because this is important, because Eric said that we have to be prepared. I believe that our greatest preparation is us knowing the Father. That was Jesus' number one asset that he had. He knew the Father. He knew the Father, and he knew that the Father knew him. Yep. And they had a relationship of intimacy, and that spawned all of his ministry. I mean, I truly believe that, you know, some people say, well, you know, it's because, you know, he studied all this. No, Jesus knew the Father. He was one with his Father. And because he was one with his Father, he lived a life that was exemplary. He lived a life way and above the normal, to that people flocked to him because, how are you doing this? How are you living this kind of, how are you doing these miracles? You know, some people say, well, you know, he did miracles because he was God. No, he came and he emptied himself of his Godhood. We have to understand that Jesus set his Godhood aside and he came in the form of a man and he lived a life pure and holy before God, sinless, but he was allowed to be full of the Holy Spirit. He said, you can do the same thing I'm doing. That's why I said, son, greater works you're going to do than me. He told the disciples that, and they're like, wait a minute, you raised, you know, the dead, you walked on water, and you're saying greater miracles we're going to do? Yeah, because I'm going to the Father, and Holy Spirit's going to live in all of you. I'm going to live in all of you. So I want us to know that God partners with us in reaching the one life. We're not doing this alone. You're not, you know, as equipped as you could become by, you know, studying your word, praying, making sure that, you know, your heart's right before God, that you don't have any secret things going on in your closet, you know, that you're trying to keep away from God, even though he knows about everything. You realize that, don't you? There's nothing that you keep from God. He knows everything. So, but you don't need to worry that you're going to be the only one trying to work on them. And I have a great scripture for that. This is Acts 16:13-14. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. So this is Paul and I believe is Silas. And they were basically in Philippi for the first time. They had been instructed by the Lord to go there. And this was on the Sabbath day. They didn't go. Notice they're not in a church. They went to the river. They went to the river and they just said, well, there might be a place of prayer here that we've heard about. And they go there and there's some women there. And I don't know everything the women are doing, but Paul and Silas sit down and talk with them. And one who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods who was a worshiper of God. Now, this is key. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. Paul didn't open her heart. The Lord opened her heart. The Holy Spirit opened her heart. So in other words, a way was made at that moment for what Paul was sharing. Notice it was Lydia, though. There were probably other women there. Probably seeds were planted. Probably, you know, maybe truths were taught. But Lydia's heart was opened. We never know when God's going to open someone's heart, folks. It was me sitting across from a guy who was trying to get me in a business. He did get me in the business, and he took me out for coffee, and I was sitting across from him, and he told me about Jesus. And guess what? The Lord opened my heart that day. And all the other times I heard about Jesus, and I thought he was just a myth, this time Jesus became my Savior. And guess what? I started following him. He didn't even ask me to receive Christ. He just told me everything. I said, oh, okay. And so I went home, started reading my Bible, and I started following Jesus the best that I knew. Started going to church, and to this day, I've just been still following Jesus. But the Lord opened my heart, and the Lord opened your heart, you know? Maybe it came from the prayer of three that we were doing. Maybe it came from getting to know this lovely lady over here, and you said, wow, she's a Christian. Maybe I need to think about this in my life. Who knows what it was, but the Lord opened your heart. The Lord's going to open the heart of the one that you're talking to. Maybe it might not be in your timing, but isn't a life worth spending and investing in? I mean, it is. Lives are worth spending time and investing in. Vicki.
So I'm going to say with Eric too, our church used to do a prayer of three, and Eric is the result of the prayer of three, because my husband had Eric on his list. And Valerie, when her dad joined the military and went into basic training, we weren't going to church, you know, and we had, and then at this point we weren't. And Valerie started coming to church with another family, a friend of hers that she went to school with, and they prayed us back into church. So, you know, prayer goes a long way, is that even though we may not, even though we may speak to them, praying about them and praying for them and even praying with them when they will allow you is another way of opening those hearts, of softening that soil. You know, I can't just go plant in my yard, you know, just plop the flower down and say grow. I have to go out there and till that soil and fertilize it and stuff. And prayer is one of the biggest things that we can do to help that process.
That's so good. That's really good. You have anything else, bro?
Yeah, I think how do you reach somebody? Like, how do you become equipped to reach somebody? You get as close to Jesus as you possibly can. So me as a parent, the way I get my kids to love Jesus is not tell them you better love Jesus or else, or hey, let me shove this Bible down your throat, or hey, all the other things that we can do. What I do instead is I just love Jesus really well. And in doing so, then I'm able to give out of that place. They see me do it. And so how does that apply to you guys is that you getting to reach one life at a time in the Yakima Valley, how do you reach a life? You just get really close to Jesus, as close as you can, and he's going to partner with you. He's going to take care of you. He's going to equip you. Yes, there's going to be a moment. There might be a moment where you get to pray with somebody and or you get to invite somebody to church, and those are all really great things. But there's also moments where somebody just gets around you and like, I don't know what it is about you, but there's just something different. And you never even told them, I go to church, I love Jesus, any of those things. But they just know, because Holy Spirit is going to do what he's going to do. Like, that's the thing. We got to get out of the way and realize, like, as I get closer to Jesus, then I become infectious. Right? I become it's so impactful without me even doing anything, without me even saying anything. Just my heart begins to pour out over people's lives. So.
So, One Life Family Worship, our catchphrase, our vision, our mission, all encompassed is reaching Yakima one life at a time. That's it. And, you know, we're going to, in the next couple of weeks, put a map of Yakima up in the foyer, and it's going to have Reaching Yakima One Life at a Time on the top of it. And, you know, when you come into church on Sunday morning, put your hand out and say, Lord, touch Yakima. When you're driving down the street and you think about it, you know, Holy Spirit puts it on your heart. You see a business, pray for it. You know, you go into a business, say, Lord, as I go in and I interact with these individuals. Now, I don't do this, but I'm saying we need to do this as the people of God. We carry the kingdom of God. We carry the anointing of God. We prayed about it. We carry the power of God. When we go into places, it doesn't have to remain the same. You know, hearts and lives can be touched just by us going in somewhere. I mean, I didn't plan it when I went to the hospital, but when I was in the hospital, I could just tell that something was different when the nurses would come into my room. I don't know what it was, you know, but I mean, my heart would just go out to them, and it would be, you know, in reverse. And like, I had one nurse who was only with me like one day, and she came back like 5 days later and she says, I couldn't stop thinking about you, you know? So it's like, okay, something's happening here that you're doing, God. And that's because Holy Spirit is at work. And we do make a difference. Even in my sickest state, I wasn't really thinking like, you know, like a pastor. I was thinking like, you know, somebody that needed to get healthy, you know, but evidently, you know, the Lord's in there and he shined through, which is awesome. It's not up to us. Even if we get fully equipped to the place where we have every single question that we can answer, every conflict that comes up, every argument that people have, because people have them, you know, oh, well, you know, religious people are just hypocrites, you know, whatever it is. And we can answer every question perfectly. That's not what's going to win them. What's going to win them is the love of God, the power of God, a life dedicated to God, in intimacy with God, where we exhibit Jesus.
I worked at a motel when we lived in Reading for about a year, and I had a couple moments where there was the maintenance guy. He knew I was saved. He would come in every morning and say, "Hey, what's the word today?" So, I mean, it was challenging as a speaker, but it was really good. It was exercise, because I wasn't always like, it's not like I was thinking about, "Oh yeah, he's going to come in." So I'd like rattle something off, some truth, right? I had one of the ladies that worked there as well. I had to write down something that I had to give to her every day, and I would always write down a truth on there, and I would give that to her, and she loved that. So I had these moments where I was able to like pour out, like purposely pour out, like be the hands of Jesus. And then when I left there, my last day, this lady came up to me that I didn't really talk to. I didn't want to talk to her. Let's just say that. Wasn't a very nice lady, and her name was Joyce. And before I'm getting ready to leave for the day, she comes in and she's like, "Can I give you a hug?" And I was like, "Okay." And so we hug, and she's like, "You were always so nice to me." And I didn't even realize, because I was doing all these other purposeful things for these people that were in the workplace, that I felt like, oh, this is my, I'm being the hands and feet of Jesus, that still, because of just Jesus inside of me, she was getting touched and impacted. And I've never even said but two words to her, really, just kind of stayed out of her way. And so all that to say, we have no idea who's watching. We have no idea what how our life is going to impact somebody else's life. Like, this is why it's really important to be tapped into who Jesus is, because at any moment you could be walking and see a Zacchaeus that you say, "Hey, we need to meet. Hey, we need to sit down and we need to have coffee. We need to have lunch. I need to come to your house so then I can be the hands and feet of Jesus to you."
Yeah. And I believe that the Lord creates divine appointments. He just is so good at that. But we want to make sure that we're giving him the opportunity to speak to our heart about divine appointments, that we're not just, you know, blindly walking through our day. We're keeping a relationship going with him where we can hear his voice. And he says, "Hey, you know, just tell this person, you know, God loves them," or just say, "Good, how are you doing today?" I mean, something simple. That's all it takes. Like you with, you know, this lady that you didn't necessarily want to hang with.
Joyce should not have had joy in the front of her name. Yeah.
So, I think what we should do, because of the power of that declaration, I think we should say that declaration again. Yeah, I do. And I think we should let it really resonate in our hearts. And then after we do this declaration, I'm going to invite anyone who wants to come up and really would like to say, not to One Life Family Worship and not bring people to church, but say, "Lord, I want to be that one that reaches one." You know, if your whole life you only reached one, but you reached that one in such a way that they were ready to reach one, the world would change. It really would. It might take, you know, it's not going to happen overnight, like 4 years of a political, you know, candidate in office or something like that, or some kind of new, you know, congressional bill that passes and everybody has to be good or something like that. But hearts and minds will change one life at a time if we allow us to be that one life to that one life. Because Jesus was the ultimate one life. He laid down his one life, and all of mankind was then able to receive that one life, to be alive with abundant life that then can share with another life. I've always said it's one of the ultimate pyramid plans, except it's from the bottom up. Because Jesus is the very beginning. He is supporting every single one of us, and he's serving every single one of us. He's not ruling over us. He's serving us with love. Amen? All right. Well, let's go ahead and do that. Do you want to do that declaration again, or do you want me to do it, or I can do it? Okay. Well, let's stand. And the reason why we're doing this declaration is because it's praying a blessing over our city. How many know that if heaven was opened over our city, that things might change? If heaven invaded earth with the glory of God, things might change, right? All right. So we are believing for, here we go. Heaven opened, earth invaded, storehouses unlocked, and miracles created. Dreams and visions, angelic visitations, declarations, impartations, and divine manifestations. Get it here? Sorry. Anointings, giftings and calls, positions and promotions, provisions and resources to go to the nations. Souls and more souls from every generation, saved and set free, carrying kingdom revelation. Thank you, Father, that as I join my value system to yours, you will shower favor, blessings, and increase upon me, so I have more than enough to co-labor with heaven and see Jesus get his full reward. Hallelujah. So, as they play this last song, if you say, Lord, I want to go ahead and partner with you in reaching Yakima one life at a time. I don't think I can reach all of Yakima myself, but I'm willing to share my life with one life. And if that's you, then just, you know, come forward. Just make it kind of a declaration. If you just want to say that prayer in your seat, feel more than welcome to do that. But I just think sometimes stepping out and saying, God, I hear your cry. I hear the cry of the Spirit of God. And I'm saying yes to that cry. I'm agreeing with that for my life. agree with you, love Yakima. And Lord, even though, as we've heard many times, it has a bad reputation, we agree that you can transform anything, a city, a family, a business. Lord, you can transform, you can change hearts. So Lord, will your love that you have for this city, let it pour down into the hearts and lives of people. As Tara prayed, Lord, let your perfect plan, your will, your purposes for this city be established, Lord. Let lives come to you and receive your love. Stop doing their own thing, Lord, and realize that doing you, Lord, experiencing you, Lord, is the true power of life, the true fulfillment of life. I just bless everyone here right now, Lord. Those that have come up, Lord, and that those in their hearts say, I'd like to do this, but it seems so big, Lord. I just bless them right now with the power of the Holy Spirit. I bless them right now with the wisdom of God, with the counsel and the might of God, with the knowledge of God, Lord, with the fear of the Lord. Lord, I just bless them now, Lord, with everything that they need, that they'd realize they're fully equipped, Lord, for every good work, God, because you are in them, and that they would yield and surrender, Lord, to you in such a way that they, that one could reach that one. Lord, that they could reach their Yakima. They could reach their city, Lord, their one person that you've given them, one life at a time. And we just thank you, Lord, that you've started this work in all of us. You're going to be the one faithful to complete it to the day of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you all. Love you. Have an awesome day. And go reach that one.